Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
Wasn't that helpful? Was that helpful for some of you? I'm going to go quickly through my message for today, just to tie up our series. I really wanted to thank Mum again for just that enlightening word. It's a real encouragement for us as parents, and I think, you know, the onus is on us, and I really want to encourage the men in here, the husbands in particular. We set the spiritual tone for our homes, for our, you know, for the direction of our families, including our wives, you know. And if we're not the ones leading, and we're not the ones setting that precedence, and, you know, I honor my father who's passed away, but he was definitely one who set the precedence. I mean, my mom is a very strong woman. Some people say, wow, you went from having a mom like Fituna to having a wife like Tina, who's also strong, doing her little dancing and all of that, trying to coax people towards Syrian Kids Church. But, you know, it's an honor to be led and to lead now these women that obviously hear from God. And I really want to encourage all the men in here, whether you're single or whether you are married, to really take ownership of the climate of your home. And so, you know, with next week, we have our Preparing for Victory, and then the following week, we have the Victory Weekend. I urge you all to sign up for that, because that's where we're really going to allow God to unearth a lot of the things. My mom just spoke about some of the generational curses that may lie in our lineage, some of the things that we may be addicted to, some of the secret sin that may have crept in there. If we don't deal with it now, men, we will inevitably see that stuff passed down to the next generation. And so it's going to be an opportunity for us to come in the presence of the Lord and see that stuff uprooted from our lives. So sign up for that. You can sign up on the website, at ianbrisbane.org, or please just sign up at the table outside. But this is open to any men who you may know, because we're going to preach the gospel straight up and down there, and it'll be an opportunity for people to receive Christ as well. It's going to be our first Victory Weekend. I'm believing for a massive breakthrough in that. Just bear with me. I'm going to cut down what was a 40-minute message down to about 15 minutes. So if you could bear with me, go in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. Going to start from verse 5 and go to verse 9. Isaiah 55, verses 5 to 9. It says this: "Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found." Everybody say that. Seek the Lord while he may be found. "Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts." This is the Lord speaking to Israel. This is the Lord speaking to us tonight. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Father, we pray that you would illuminate Scripture today. Help us to hear your voice, Lord, whether it's as a parent towards our children, towards our spouse, or as a single towards our lives, Lord God, and towards our direction of where you want to take us. God, we pray that you would clear the airwaves, enable us to hear your voice clearly today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Really quickly, today, I just want you to understand that obedience is the ideal listening ground for the Holy Spirit. Obedience is the ideal listening ground for the Holy Spirit. The title of what I want to talk about today is Seven Questions for Godly Transition. Seven Questions for Godly Transition. Everybody goes through transition. Everybody goes through major decisions that they have to make. How many of you are going through a transition? Maybe you've recently relocated to Brisbane, or maybe you're about to relocate. Maybe you're entering into a new stage of your life. Maybe you're single, about to be married. Never the other way around. Married to single? No. But you know, you're in a transition. Maybe it's from a job. How many of you are in the middle of a transition or have just gone through a transition? Just wave your hands at me. I need you to understand this, that your life and where you are right now is a culmination of your decisions and the decisions that the Holy Spirit has enabled you to make. Some of them you may have made without consulting the Holy Spirit. But how many of you know that there is a mark, and my mom spoke about it, there is a mark for your life that God has called you to hit. Every single one of us in this room has a mark marked out for us that we are to hit like arrows. And so if we make decisions without the consultation and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the tendency is to not hit that mark. How many of you want to live a life that will hit the mark every time? These questions are some of the questions that you need to ask yourself as you go through transition, as you're making decisions. Now, this is for major decisions. This is not the decisions of, does this shirt go with this, you know, the pants, or does my body part look big in this? You know, this is not that sort of decision, okay? These are the sort of questions for major decisions. And I believe that some of us, if not now, just within the next few days, few weeks, we'll go through major decision. And I want to encourage you to implement these questions in your approach to asking the Holy Spirit what the direction is for that transition. Are you with me tonight? Okay, we're going to go through these really quickly. The first one is the most obvious one, most important one, and that is, what is the Holy Spirit saying? What is the Holy Spirit saying? Now, many of you may remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about a prophetic image of where there was a jug pouring out a constant flow of water, and there was a cup that would sit right underneath that flow, and as it sat underneath that flow, it was able to contain everything that the Holy Spirit poured out. And as it contained it, it went into overflow. And then there was another cup that would sit underneath it but constantly move, and it would only be able to contain certain amounts of the water but never contain the fullness of the outpour. And the Holy Spirit showed us in that time 2 weeks ago, and you can check it out on the podcast, where there was an understanding that you want to be still. You be in that place where God is pouring out His Holy Spirit. Wherever He pours it out, you want to be in that place where you're able to hear the Holy Spirit. And like I said, obedience is the best listening ground for the Holy Spirit. It's easier to hear the Holy Spirit if you're in an atmosphere of obedience. But if you're in an atmosphere of noise, if you're in an atmosphere of distraction, if you're in an atmosphere of disobedience, God will still speak to you, but it won't be as easy to hear Him. And so, in order to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, my encouragement for you is to obey the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying? The second one is, what does the Bible say? Now, these are obvious. You're looking at me going, okay, Nelly, that's no surprise. But you'd be surprised how many people do not consult the Bible in making major decisions. The Bible says in Psalm 119, I think we have it here, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The image that you get of that is a light that shines downward where you're walking. It's never on high beam. It's never atrociously bright where you are just like, ah! It's just enough for you to take the next step. And the Word of God illuminates your path. Now, without the Word of God even illuminating your next step, chances are you may take a misstep. My encouragement for you is to take that dusty Bible off the shelf and begin to consult it with regards to your next step. Financial decisions. Bible's pretty clear. Where you have found a storehouse, i.e. your local church, then you should tie towards the work of your local church, wherever it is. If it's not here, wherever it is. And you're kind of like, nah, maybe not. I will trust in the system of the Crown Casino instead of the system of the Holy Spirit. I will try my luck out there. See, you got to understand that God's economy is a lot greater than the economy of the world. We deal in the world of interest rates that are of a percentage. Like 5%, 10%, 25%. God's economy is folds. You understand folds? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Each fold is 100%. So it's not just 30% increase. It's to the power of 30. Or, you know, it's like, okay, this is 100%. Add another 100%, that's 2. Add another 100%, that's 3. I mean, that's the level of increase, exponential increase that God wants to bring to somebody who is faithful. And because those people who are faithful also are generous and distribute it. God wants to bring that sort of prosperity to people who have a heart to be a blessing to those who don't have, and to people who are constantly sowing in kingdom soil. He brings blessing their way. But it's a matter of, do you trust in your provision to come from the Lord, or do you trust in your provision to come from your paycheck? Your paycheck is seed. It's not the be-all and end-all. Your paycheck is not your provider. God is your provider. He gave you the job, which gave you the paycheck. Trust in Him, not the paycheck. I know that might mess with some of your minds, so I'll just move on. Just keep your toes under your seat, because I might step on them as we carry on. What does wisdom and wise counsel say? Oh, this is a tough one. We love to hear, oh, what Jesus might say to me. We love to even read the Bible, because it's easy actually to take the Bible and twist it up to fit my lifestyle rather than allow the lifestyle that I live to be molded by the Word of God. And so it's easy to twist a verse up to fit what I want to do rather than allow what I want to do to go through a process of sanctification and molding so that I can be obedient by the grace of God to what He's designed for me. But here's where it gets hard, when you have to deal with other people speaking into your life. I really don't like it when friends of mine will come up to me and they'll say, you know, they'll tell me, they'll confess to me that they've struggled in areas of sin. And, you know, look, guys, I'm not like a holy, righteous dude on my own standard. It's totally by the grace of God. I am a sinner just like all of you. But for some reason, we exalt pastors and ministers at a level where they are like just under God. Please don't think that of me. I'm only up here by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And so as I stand here, and I stand in the church that I used to pastor in Singapore before moving over here, you know, I'd get a brother who'd come up to me and confess like crazy sin that he got involved in. And I was wondering, man, how come you haven't been around, not just in church, but you haven't been hanging around us for the last six to nine months? And he'd be like, you know, I wanted to tell you about my issues, but I was afraid of what you might say. That statement, it irks me, because you shouldn't be afraid of what I would say. There is a God who will judge your soul. But at the same time, by His mercy, He has allowed His Son to take the cross so that that sin can be eradicated. And yet you, still in your shame, would hide that from and shield that from the power of the cross. It's not me that's going to rectify your sin. And so there's wisdom. There's wisdom and walking within wise counsel, walking with people that can help consult you, can help you walk this walk out. And they may tell you stuff that you don't want to hear. Hello, anybody? I mean, I know when I hang out with Siosi and Norm, I'm unfit. I'm willing to, you know, I know I'm working on it. But there are times that I get around them and I just feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Man, put that chicken drumstick down, Nelly, and do some sit-ups. I'm just saying, these brothers are so gracious towards me, and but you get around people that are walking right, you know what I'm saying? And there's a conviction that comes. Yes, we love one another. Yes, we're open, but it's going to take you making the decision to say, I will walk in wisdom and wise counsel. No matter what they say, I will understand that they are for me and not against me. And any correction that they bring, it's in love. Let me tell you something. In Brisbane, we are a community that loves one another by the grace of God and mercy of God. He has saved us all. None of us are righteous on our own. But because of His mercy, because of His grace, we receive His wisdom. to walk this walk out together. You are not going to be able to walk this walk out alone. And that's the enemy's tactic, is to offend you away from wisdom, offend you away from wise counsel, so that you won't be able to hit the mark that God's called you to walk in. You want to accelerate in the will of God? Walk in wisdom and wise counsel. I'll encourage you not just to walk with one discipler. It's good to have a mentor in your life, but get multiple anchors in your life. Get multiple people who have wisdom in different areas to coach you and to help you thrive in everything that God's called you to walk in. You with me tonight? We all good? We all good? We're getting through this. We're getting through this. Without counsel, plans fail. Everybody say that. Without counsel, plans fail. Let's flip that. This is what I would say. With counsel, plans never fail. If you're not going to have counsel, you might as well crisscross your plans, because it's not going to work. But if you want it to work, always walk with counsel. But with many advisors, they succeed. Number four, are we up to four? I'm just testing if you're taking notes. That's good. Are there ulterior motives? Are there ulterior motives? You know, those dudes that come into church, looking around, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow, God is good. Look, he's beautiful creator, because he created beauty in this room. And you know, just that the sort of dudes that walk in here that are 50 shades of shady, you know. Ulterior motives. The Bible says, let's go to this verse, Proverbs 16 verse 2, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. There's a weight to your motives. Too many of our motives are just like super light. It's the weight of character, the weight of motives that enable you to stay steadfast in trials, stay steadfast in things that God enables you to walk through, the times that are hard. Your motives need to be strong. If your motive is towards worshiping the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ, you will stay steadfast throughout whatever you're going through. Your motives need to be weighty, and God weighs your motives. And so my encouragement for you today is to ask yourself, what are the motives? Why are you here at church? Let me ask, real talk. Look up at me real quick, okay? Look up at me. I know it's hard to gaze upon such beauty, but just and such humility. But just look up at me real quick. There you go. 谢谢你. Why are you here? Why are you honestly here? Don't answer aloud. And don't answer religiously. Oh, I'm here because of Jesus. Some of you are here because your spouse or your parents dragged you here. Yeah, I knew it would get quiet. Motives. Look, if you're here because somebody dragged you here, you might as well spend this time at home watching the NRL. Something that brings you life, because this is 2 hours of misery for you right now. Real talk. Because if the King of all kings lays his life down for you on the cross so that you can have salvation, and that kind of bores you, then go and worship your temporal gods. Go and worship that little leather ball going across some painted line. Go and worship, you know, something else. Go and worship Westfield. You can turn the lights down. That's enough conviction. Why are you here? God weighs your motives. God, and God is asking all of us, including myself, why are you here, Nelly? God is weighing all of our motives, and the reason why we live, why we do the things that we do, you know, getting the opportunity to come up here and lead worship, is it because I want everybody to hear my voice? Or is it because I want to draw people towards God? What's your motives? What's your motives for serving? Or what's your motives for not serving? What's your motives for not going to Victory Weekend? What's your motives for being a part of anything that God is doing? What are your motives? Are there ulterior motives? Next one. Where will you grow the most in God? Now, this is a hard question to ask, because some of you would say, let me put it to you like this. Many people who have migrated to a new nation. Let's just, as an example, okay? As an example, which is very prevalent here in Brisbane and the Gold Coast. People moving from New Zealand here or from another nation here. In line with what we talked about with ulterior motives, did we move here for financial opportunity? Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But let me ask you this. Did you consult the Holy Spirit in moving here? And did you ask this question? Will I grow? Have I found myself in a church or in a community that will help me to grow in God here? Because what happens if you don't ask that question first? You should ask that question first before you even start looking for a job. Like, where is a local community? Where is a place that I can grow spiritually in God? Because if I seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, everything else will be taken care of. My job, my provision, my kids' schools, all of that. If I seek first what God wants me to do in this land, then everything else will be taken care of. But some of us put other things first. Some of us put finances first. Some of us put jobs first. Some of us put relationship opportunities first. Or we escape relationship opportunities that were not opportunities in Auckland, so we zoomed over here so that we could hide under the bush of the Gold Coast so no one can see us because I'm running away from an ex-girlfriend who's a psycho. Just saying. I know that's none of you and might be a friend, but it's something to ask yourself, for real. Like, did you actually ask yourself in moving here, can I grow in God in a church here, in a community here? Our heart here at Ian Brisbane is to provide a cultivating ground for the destiny of each person that calls this place home. A place of cultivation for disciple-making disciples. And you are going to grow here, but you need to swallow words like this. You need to swallow messages like this and say, you know what? I may be wrong. I may have been wrong with my motives, but there's plenty of room for repentance. Repentance is beautiful because God allows us to repent. It would not be beautiful if there was not an opportunity to repent, but God enables us to turn away from our ulterior motives and why we initially felt like doing things and redeem us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And as long as we seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, as long as we place ourselves in positions that worship Him and glorify Him, then we thrive in what God calls us to. And you can sit here and you can get offended at me, and that's okay. But you're going to have to be the one that deals with the decisions that you make that don't invite the Holy Spirit and the conviction of the Holy Spirit to guide you in what He's called you to do. I don't care if there's like five people. As long as there are five people in here that get this and are willing to swallow this pill, the gospel pill, then that's fine. That's fine. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are seen are unseen are eternal. It goes back to what I was talking about last week. Are you here for purposes that exalt an eternal God and the eternal life that He's called you to live, starting here in Brisbane? Or are you here just to get your 2 or 3 years money's worth and get a promotion so you can bounce to wherever the next place benefits you in this temporal world? It's a real question. Are you here for you, or are you here because you're submitted to what God's called you to do in this land? We're on to the second and the last one. How will you help others to grow? So it's not just about you growing. It's also about you helping other people to grow. So you don't just come here, Lord, I just want to grow. It's all about me, grow, grow, grow. But it's also in the process of growing, like a tree that bears fruit, the fruits have seeds, and the seeds need to go into the ground so they can grow others. And so it's the same with you. My brothers and sisters, you're here, yes, to grow, but in the process of you growing, you are going to help other people beyond yourself to grow. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." There's a multi-generational transfer. When you get in the presence of God and you grow in the presence of God, it transfers down to generations. Let me ask you, who are you pouring your life into? If you are here and say, you know, God, I'm here to do your will, then who are you pouring your life into? And are you seeing them thrive in God, or are you seeing them thrive in you? thrive in what you command them to do rather than thrive in what God's called them to do. Here's the last one. We made it. Thank you for sticking with me. Can you smile at me real quick? God loves cheerful givers. Give me a smile. All right, we're good. Here's the last one. Is God done with you where you are? Is God done with you where you are? Now, in asking the first six questions, this is the final one, because a lot of people love to rush towards and rush through transition without asking God, are you done with what I'm doing here? And so it's to ask the question, before you graduate or before you move into what is next, asking God, are we done here before I go there? And the going is not a geographical location. The going may be a career move. The going may be just simply going from high school to college and choosing the right university, or, you know, whatever it may be. Or as a couple, you're praying and God's transitioning you to a new ministry involvement or new community outreach or whatever it may be. It's asking, before you commit to something new, are you done with me here? Have you finished with me here? Let me just pose this to you in closing tonight. It's not only what he's doing through you, but it's what he's doing to you as well. Because in the process of you doing and you getting involved, there's also a sanctification, a growing up process that God brings you through. You know, like I said before, quoting Pastor Rice Brooks, who's one of the leaders of this movement, you know, jokingly he said, you know, the problem is that you take you with you wherever you go. So if you're ugly here, you'll be ugly in India. It doesn't go over very well when I say it. When Pastor Rice says it, it's much funnier. But the point is, my brothers and sisters, is that you got to let God take care of the ugliness inside of you. All of us are ugly inside. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so there's a process of sanctification, of refining that he takes us through. And you don't rush ahead of what the Holy Spirit might want to do simply because of worldly opportunity. But ask yourself, is God done with weeding this stuff out of me? Again, for the men in here, you need to get to Victory Weekend. Get the stuff out of you so that you can walk in victory in what God's called you to do. For the sisters in here and for the brothers in here that are single, don't rush ahead towards marriage. Marriage is not your salvation. Christ is, and unless you experience the wholeness of Christ, you will never enter into a marriage the way that God wants to fulfill you. It's okay to want marriage. It's okay to desire it, but not in the sense of idolatry where you expect things from marriage and being married to somebody that a romantic comedy offers you and salvation through Matthew McConaughey characters, rather than just trusting in the fulfillment of God. And so when God brings the right one alongside you, it's the perfect timing of the Lord. It's you walking out in the kingdom work because God's worked on the ugliness inside of you, and you are a blessing to that husband. Instead of working on, if you're a lady in here, instead of working on, I want to find Mr. Right, why don't you work on being Mrs. Right? Same thing for the fellas in here. That's why you need to come to Victory Weekend. All my sisters in here, ask them, you know, if they want to start pursuing you, have you been to Victory Weekend? You better get to stepping. You still got some of that stuff. Is God finished with you yet? Is God finished with you yet? A lot of us need to understand that in Philippians, it says that he who began the good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He will finish it. He will finish it. But a lot of it comes in sitting in the environment of obedience and saying, God, I'm not moving. I'm not going to get anxious. Even though the world may say this and that and this and that, I'm going to be still and know that you are God. And until you speak to me through your spirit, confirmed through wise counsel, confirmed through your word, I will not move because I want to hear your voice. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I want us tonight to pray as we close. Thanks for bearing with me, guys. Has this been helpful? It's been helpful. I'll take your quietness as the Holy Spirit just moving in what I've been sharing tonight. But just wanted to encourage those who are in this room tonight, and you're either walking through transition or you've been through transition. Maybe not, you're not going through a transition right now, but maybe on some of these points you've realized, you know what, I've made decisions in the past that have been led totally by a world standard or what a blog's told me or what a popular opinion might say, but now I'm willing to submit all decisions through a godly process, through the way that He desires to me to hear from Him. And I will not be moved by, you know, political standings or popular opinion. I will be moved by the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, there's no better place to be than to be in His presence. And as His presence moves, you move alongside His presence. So if I could just get everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, we're going to just have a moment right here, just a minute or so. I'm going to pray for people in here that are going through decisions or desiring to make decisions. Or maybe you're in this room tonight and you haven't made the decision to hand your life over to God. Maybe you've been living your life out, making your own decisions, and you realize just how far away from God you really are today. But you're willing to say, you know what? I've been trusting in my own ability to make the decisions that have led me to this certain point, but I'm broken. I'm broken in here, and I want to hand my life over to the one who designed it in the first place, who, even though I broke my life and allowed myself to go through brokenness, He makes me whole through His cross. If that's you tonight, and you want to hand your life over to the one who created you, who redeems you, who loves you, and who is with you, then just right where you are, just with everybody, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, just lift your hands to me so I know who I'm praying for tonight as I pray as we close. Awesome, awesome. Keep your hands up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for these ones, God, who have put their hands up tonight. Lord God, I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would enable us from this moment on to move in accordance with your will. Lord, we submit every decision from this day forward and every decision-making process from this day forward to your will. Lord, have your way in us. For you to be Lord means that you are in the driver's seat. You are in full control of our lives. You're not only in the driver's seat, you created the car. And so, God, we submit our lives. We submit our decisions. Let our decision not be made without the consultation of your Holy Spirit. Direct us. Direct our families. Direct our lives. Direct our careers. Lord, we want to follow you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For those of you who need prayer tonight, please do come forward. We'd love to pray for you. I know that some of you may hear this word and may want to chew on it a little bit longer and then maybe ask some questions. Myself, Roisin, and some of our other leaders will be up front here and we'll be willing to pray for you or to answer any of your questions as best we can. But please do, if you have any questions or you need prayer for anything, please do come up and see us. Otherwise, you're dismissed. Have a great time outside. We have some treats outside and plenty of space outside for you to enjoy fellowship and hanging out. God bless you. Thank you for coming and have a great week ahead.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.